Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. This episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast is brought to you by Force of Extinction. This is a 12-sided studios original TTRPG where you are going to be placed into an overgrown and wild version of Earth where humans are bottom of the food chain. This is your favorite B-movie. Think Godzilla or King Kong, and you are playing the daring action hero who's staring death in the eye and immediately getting squashed. But fear not, there are mechanics for resurrection. It is a great time. This is a game that we have been working on over at 12 Sided Studios for quite some time now. We are incredibly happy with how it's turned out, and we really cannot wait for you folks to get your hands on it. So please, if this sounds appealing to you as something like you would enjoy, then go and check out the Backer Kit page. That is Force of Extinction. Just search Force of Extinction on Backer Kit, or check out the notes in the description below and you will find a link to where you can go and join right now. And if you do a pre-pledge, which is, I believe, like something like $2, you will also receive an exclusive D20 when you pledge on the actual Backer Kit. Thank you so much. I hope that you enjoy checking that out. It's a really, really cool TTRPG. And not only is it really, really cool, it takes literally 5 minutes to explain to someone and to start playing. It's so, so simple and so enjoyable. So for all you forever GMs out there and all your players saying they don't have time to figure it out and learn the rules, etc., just tell them, hey, go get Force of Extinction and we can start playing in 10 minutes. It's a great time and I really can't wait for you to check it out. Okay. Bye for now. Rotatoes, it is May 1st, which means we are nearly a month away from our first ever Backer Kit, which is crazy exciting for us. I am so excited about Force of Extinction, and I know that you're probably sick to the back teeth of hearing me talk about it. If you are sick to the back teeth of me talking about Force of Extinction or any of these other things, and you just want to get on with the episodes, please, already, enough of these adverts and placements and things, then you can go ahead and check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon. From little as $5 a month, you can get yourself completely ad-free listening, which includes these annoying intros that I do. So if you don't want to hear these and you want to hear less of my voice, I realize I'm the GM, so that's kind of difficult, but if that is what you want, technically you will get less of my voice in a more full and complete form if you go and check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon. Links in the description below. It'd mean a lot to have you there, and it's just $5 a month. Take it away, pass me. You're running, you can hear all around you, and you can just feel in your heart and the pit of your stomach that your friend is in danger, that something is wrong, and you don't know what it is. And as you're running and running and running, you burst through a door and find yourself suddenly hit in the face by a wall of wind.
Whoa.
And as you burst through this door, it's like that moment in a film where you kind of catch yourself on the door frame as below you there is this like train now kind of moving, and I think there's a moment as you kind of turn around to look behind you, you expect to see the ship has now melted away.
Oh, it's gone.
Sort of door is now kind of like hovering almost in space above this train as these gigantic metal seemingly hornets now are approaching you at a rapid speed. At the end of this tunnel, you can see something kind of moving, wriggling, trying to break free of some bonds as they seem to be tied down at the end of the train tracks.
On the train tracks.
On the train tracks.
And I'm on a train.
And you are on a train, on the top of a train, wind whipping past you.
I think Ember just drops everything and just starts sprinting down this train, trying to like overtake it, right, in speed. She's going straight to Tundra.
So I'm assuming Ember, because she's cool, she like superhero lands on the top of this train and starts, you know, dead sprinting.
Oh yeah, from the doorway.
Yeah. So superhero landing.
Yeah, does like a flip superhero landing.
Love it. You're currently four carriages back, so for you to get to the front of the train
I'm going to need 3 dexterity saving throws. And this is basically you hopping from one carriage to the next carriage. And so we'll see it. And this is capable of a mixed success as well. So the number here is important. First one.
15.
Okay.
Just to clarify, I have a pretty great modifier.
You have a really good modifier to dex as well. You run, you sprint, you get a good leap off. You make connection with the other side, but you realize you jumped maybe a little too high on that one, and you felt a little close to the ceiling. Like, this is it's not a perfectly formed kind of like tunnel. It's like a bit rocky, and so some places are a little lower, and it's a bit uneven. And you definitely feel like if you'd have jumped any higher, you might have taken yourself out on the ceiling, so... Something to recalibrate as you sprint forward, the wind whipping past you as you go for the second jump.
Second jump. 16. Oh my god, the dice are gonna test me today.
16. That is exactly what you needed on the second one. So you've absolutely... you, on this next one, I think you overcompensate a little bit. You jump, and it's like that thing where your midriff like hits into the rim of the next carriage, and you sort of wind yourself a little bit, but your arms are still on, and you're sort of Tom Cruising, you know, up onto the top of this train. You're like on your stomach, but you do manage to get across barely.
I'm coming, Tundra, I'm coming.
Okay, jumping onto the final carriage, the head of the train.
14
is not going to be enough.
Yeah.
So you run and you go to leap across this final dip. And as that happens, you can feel these hornets now getting so close to you.
Oh, shit. Bonus action.
What would you like to do?
Misty step.
Okay, here's how this is going to happen. Here's how this is going to happen. So... You go to make the jump, and you find yourself falling in between the two carriages. Now, with a 14, that wasn't going to be enough, and you were going to end up getting sucked underneath the train.
Oh, my God.
So here's what I'll let you do. You can roll me. This is going to be an Arcana check, because you're essentially trying to Misty Step, kind of cast a spell, as you are about to like hit the floor at like several hundred miles per hour and get sucked under a train. And so you're going to be able to Misty Step. It's more a case of which direction you're going to end up Misty Stepping in.
Yeah, that's fair. So fair. Okay. Arcana, here we go. We got a -1 on this one.
You got this. Bring
and
it on.
And I've been rolling so well so far.
So well. You can do it.
13.
I think you just... instinctively, like, as you can feel your feet like hit a bit of gravel, and you just close your eyes, and as you open your eyes again, you find yourself on a sort of solid ground inside the cockpit, essentially of this train. It's this kind of Treasure Planet is 100% the vibe. There are pipes and steam running everywhere. There are all manner of kind of floating, hovering little crystals, which seem to be some, you know, seem to have some sending power and energy to different parts of the train, etc. And there is a halfling on the ground. She's bleeding profusely from one side as she looks up at you and she goes, I couldn't. Sprocket, I'm so sorry. Sprocket, I couldn't stop it. I couldn't fix it. You have to fix it. Please, we can't stop the train.
Sprocket? How do I stop the train? Tell me how to stop it.
You know how to fix it. You're so clever. And you see that she seemingly starts to bleed out as she falls unconscious.
Passive insight. She thinks I'm Sprocket. She imagined I was Sprocket.
She seems to believe that you are Sprocket, yes. Can you roll me just a straight intelligence? This isn't a super high DC, but I am aware that you have a -1, but we'll see.
8.
No, do you know what? No, an 8's just not high enough. I'm not going to give you anything.
It's okay.
Not going to give you. I was trying, but no, you don't get anything.
She's wise, but she's a dum-dum.
Yeah.
Oh my god. She thought it was Sprocket. Okay. What would Sprocket do? I'm going to ram my head into a pipe.
Okay, you're going to ram your head into a pipe as if you've got horns?
Based off that intelligence roll.
That's absolutely perfect. Go ahead I don't think there's any point in making this strength or athletics or anything like that. I think this is probably just a luck roll.
Fine, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's the only way to resolve this. This is just a straight luck roll.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, no.
Nat 1!
And Nat 1?
Did you think I would die today in this dream?
No, I didn't, but maybe now you will.
Oh my god, no.
Okay, you pitch your head down and you run straight into part of this control console where all these pipes are kind of coming out of. And as you hit into them, you seem to hit into one which houses all of the coolant for the train. And it explodes in your face, and you are going to take... How are your hit points right now? That is...
I'm at 24.
That is I'm not 21 points of cold damage. 21 points of cold damage as this coolant sprays you in the face, and it is like being hit in the face by dry ice as you feel your face, like, frozen in place. Like, you feel like if you were to take a blow to the face, like, it could crack and shatter. Like, it is literally frozen in place. Your eyelids can't close as you're just staring out currently. You reckon you probably have about 2 rounds worth of actions before this train gets to the mouth of this tunnel, and you can now see with your passive perception, it's not just tundra that's in the way. As you look beyond that, the train tracks seem to end. Just after where tundra is currently stuck to the ground, they end. This whole train is going to go off of the end of this cliff right now if you don't stop it.
Oh my god.
I'll let you, here we go. I'll let you roll me wisdom this time.
19.
There we go. That's better. So I think as you get blasted by this icy coolant, you have a moment of calm. Washes over you. There is something, whilst incredibly painful and bringing you nearly to your knees, that reminds you of tundra. That sort of icy embrace. And I think in that moment, something comes to you. I think having paid very close attention to your friends with high passive insight, and someone who I think just makes a point of really paying attention to their friends and to those that are around them, I think you clock something immediately. Sprocket has a crippling fear of not being able to fix things, of if he doesn't fix something, everyone would die.
Mm.
Your fear, and actually the nightmare that you had the night before, was about tundra being at the end of a tunnel that you couldn't reach.
Yeah.
And with that 19... you have also observed on several occasions Brian flinching away from things that make a buzzing sound, much like these hornets are doing right now.
Mm. You're right, the buzzing outside, okay.
And these hornets do appear to be made of the living metal Embrium, which it wouldn't take a genius to ascertain that, like, Brian has some previous with. So this space that you're in seems to be an amalgamation of all of your dreams.
Okay, yeah.
And not only that, you notice that inside the console, where you've broken into it, there does appear to be Embrium.
Okay, and last time we got, like, transported out of something, or was when we messed with that, so...
It is currently in the middle, as you... bust your head into this console, there is like a gap now that you can see, and there is like a swirling, like, energy engine, and at the center of it, there, like, it's like all made out of, like, there's no, it's like kind of like if you'd lift up the hood on a part of a video game and you're just seeing code. It's essentially that, where you've kind of broken into this place. There's no wires or cables or anything connecting it. It's just this swirling mass of, like, magical energy. And in the center of it, you can see this little kind of almost like glitching, flinching piece of Embrium.
Okay. Which I'm assuming that I'm intuiting that that's also running the train in some way.
Potentially.
Or this dream or this entire thing. Okay. So I think... would you allow maybe, like, some sleight of hand to try and, like, redirect and kind of move this Embrium and get it out of here?
Try and, like, pluck it out?
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah?
I'm going to set a DC.
Yeah.
And basically, you're going to take damage from this, but every point over that DC you get, I will allow you to negate 1 point of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the DC for this is going to be a 17, and the damage, well, in fact, I'll roll the damage, we'll be fair. Okay, so the damage for this is going to be 9.
I have 3 hit points, so I need to get a 23 or higher.
24. You need to hit 24, and you'd be left with 2 hit points if you... it would take 2 hit points off of you, leaving you with 1.
I need a 24. Okay. Which means I need to roll a 14 or higher.
So it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. It sounds crazy. Well, based off my roll record today, odds may be low, but we've got a new die. Let's go.
Oh, no.
Wait. Well, okay, so here's the thing. Is it's not a failure because I have a reliable talent. Mm-hmm. So it is at least going to be a 20.
A success, yeah.
But it's a 20 because... Yeah, it's just getting up to the 10 minimum.
Yeah, what did you roll?
I rolled a 3. Yeah, I rolled a 3. Yeah, okay. It's the dice are like, actually, you should not record in the mornings. You're not awake yet, and neither are we.
So you reach your hand inside this engine, and it feels as though your hand is being torn apart.
Yeah. But I gotta stop this train. I gotta just get in there, Ember.
You feel the point where you're like, you know that you're going to lose consciousness. And I'm assuming you make the conscious choice, essentially, to push through.
Yeah.
To grab hold of this thing.
No, she's really determined. She's like, I'm not losing her again.
You look up across the tracks. You see Chandra struggling at the end of this track, and she has an incredibly keen eye, and I think she can looks up, and there's a moment of contact between the two of you, incredibly brief, as you push through and you look down, and your hand and your arm now looks as though, like, you know, it's almost like your hand is being dissected by some strange sort of force. Sort of pieces of skin are coming off in perfectly square sort of chunks, and there's no... Even the blood itself seems to be, like, glitching. It's not like it comes off in globules in the way that you'd expect it to. As you reach in, you wrap your hand around this embryum, and what do you think is the last thing that Ember says out loud?
I finally saved you.
You say this out loud as you wrap your hand around this embryum, and it's not the arm that finishes or that stops you or causes you to fall unconscious. Is instead the sudden slamming on of brakes as the train does everything it can to stop immediately, and you feel yourself pinned to this console as you watch the train slow and slow and slow and slow until the point where the front of it just nudges into Tundra. She looks up at you, and your eyes slowly close.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everybody. I'm Jasper William Cartwright, and I'm here today to GM for 3 wonderful people as they descend into madness. Johnny Cudini, how you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Just, you know, descending into madness, as one does.
Ed Spence, how you doing? Edward Spence, sorry, that's your full legal name.
and professional. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. On the border of sane, certainly.
Nice. Do you have any middle names?
I do, yeah.
What's your... Can you say
don't
that?
Don't tell him.
Do you not tell that? No,
I can say it. James. Also, to clarify, I don't mind people calling me Ed.
No, it's Edward James Spence now. That's your full and legal name, so I'm going to be using
God
it.
God damn it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Josephine McAdam. Hate him.
I'm good and fully in the madness. Oh, I'm not on the edge.
Okay, Josephine, do I have your permission to please share the video that you just gave us? Because it was golden.
Well, pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. No, I don't have it. I didn't hit record on the Zoom.
Suck on that.
Lost to time, you fool.
We don't have the video.
Wow. That was just for you.
That was
just for you.
A truly incredible little performance, little show that you just gave us. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Cool, everyone. Shall we go ahead and dive back into this little cheeky little scenario that we're in?
Yeah. Oh,
God. Cheeky scenario, is that what we're calling it?
Little cheeky scenario.
Cheeky little scenario.
Cheeky little scenario.
Cheeky. Oh, cheeky.
Have a cheeky scenario.
Deep Space Recap.
This is Vox Vinny riding those vibrations straight to you on the Deep Space Dial. The crew of the Silverhawk took a tumble into Titan Town to face off with their own reflections. Only these cats came with sunglasses and a bad attitude. The dance-off was a cosmic mess. Evil Sprocket, or Sprocket 2, turned Ember into a golden goose, whilst the real Sprocket was slinging lightning and bricks. Whilst Evil Brian played the ultimate thief and straight up stole real Brian's shadow before pulling a disappearing act. When the dust settled, the evil twins were kissing the canvas, but our heroes were left to pick up the pieces of their dying friend. But here's the twist, kittens. Reattaching your shadow is a one-way ticket back home. When the crew popped back to the Silverhawk, they brought with them something of a Trojan horse. The Brian that came back was the B-side, the Dark Reflection, and one hell-bent on killing Ember and Sprocket and avenging his dead sunglass-wearing compatriots. And this is all before he skittered into the vents like a spider with a grudge. Ember then found herself running through doors that shuffled reality like a deck of cards and ended up on the Nightmare Express and a runaway train with her beloved Tundra tied to the tracks. Things are getting a little spicy out there in the nebula, friends, so remember, roll high or roll into the void. Sprocket, you find yourself suddenly alone on the deck of the ship. Brian, too, just sprouted several arms and skittered into a vent. And there is suddenly a eerie sense of silence, occasionally punctured by a strange illusory voice or calling from off the deck. A odd and strange occurrence. You know full well that the nebula itself tends to react to the emotions of those that it surrounds. So what is Sprocket thinking? How is Sprocket feeling in this moment?
Sprocket is a maelstrom of emotions. He's caught between intense guilt and the gnawing feeling that Brian 2 might have been right, and that Sprocket was completely out of line, just going straight to violence when threatened. But also just a swirling panic of the situation being out of hand and the real Brian, as far as Sprocket's concerned, being in terrible, terrible danger. So I would say that at the minute he's trying, desperately trying, to cram all of this into like a little toolbox and let sort of pragmatic, systems-oriented, problem-solving Sprocket take the forefront, and it's not proving easy. This isn't even his first rodeo. Like, he knows a thing or two about rodeos. He's a minotaur for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But he's like, come on. Think. I think probably he's got his eyes closed and he is just sort of like trying to talk himself through the ship schematics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's trying to talk through it in order. He's like, bulkhead, corridor, bulkhead, mess room.
Are you trying to piece together potential locations that Brian could be?
Yes. I think, it's priority number one is, let's go find that cupboard.
Okay. So you're looking for a cupboard, specifically, that might house Brian 1.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go ahead and give me an investigation check and tell me, are you heading below deck or you, there are, so just to be clear, where the layout of the ship, we've got the front of our ship, which I, you know, before we started this whole thing, I learned all the names of ships and now I've forgotten everything. So the front of the ship, that's where the stairs lead down and down into the proper part of the ship. And at the back, obviously, you have all of the you know, there's like other quarters and cabins like Hubert's. I can't. Every time, Josephine, you ruined my brain.
Hubert.
Sorry.
Hubert's quarters. Some of the other like higher ranking kind of officials on the boat's quarters.
Yeah.
Navigation, all of that kind of stuff is like up in this like top deck part. So in which direction do you want to head specifically?
I think tween decks. The simple fact that Brian was like the cupboard into which I stuffed them. Like that to me feels like a shady in the hold kind of situation.
Okay, a shady in the hold kind of situation. Will you go ahead and make me an investigation check, please?
I will. 11.
Some time passes as you head down into the hole, and you find yourself into. I'm assuming a sort of storage cupboard or place like that is probably something that you would investigate first. And you find yourself in the storage cupboard where you can see various foodstuffs. And there is a very strange thing happening, which is that some of this foodstuff appears to be, some of it decayed, some of it seems to have reverted back into a seed. And some of it, so you see that essentially like all different areas of the ship are affected. It's not just the people, the whole ship itself is being affected by whatever this is.
Okay.
And whilst you do not find Brian in the storage cupboard, you do find a tiny little wooden automaton. Hello! Sprocket! Oh, good. It's me, Maddox, just in case you're wondering. And he realized that you didn't recognize him immediately because he was hiding inside of a cabbage.
Oh.
Trying to, like, so there's little arms and sort of wheels come out of the bottom of a cabbage. And he's sort of like, it's me, Maddox! Hello!
Maddox, it's good to see you. Oh, just a point. Can I have taken with me the arm that Brian 2 tore off himself?
Absolutely, you can, yeah.
Great. I don't even think Sprocket knows why he's got it.
Yep.
But, yeah.
It feels like he needs it.
Oh, Maddox, am I glad to see you.
Ah, yes. Me too. Most exciting, isn't it?
What do you mean? What is...
This is...
Well, yeah.
This is the very thing that we were going to study. I don't know how it's happened or why, but this is it.
Oh, so this is what... Okay, we were looking for this specifically, were we?
Well, we were looking for it on Sim. We didn't realize that they could occur outside of Sim. This is a simulation, you see. A sort of place of possible endless chaos and pandemonium where there are seemingly connections to other planes, and bringing through that energy can cause manifestations of one's nightmares, dreams, and pure imagination.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, Maddox. I think, actually, I've already had some experience with that.
You do? And you see that from his chest, a little sheet of paper kind of comes out. He snaps off a bit of his leg and uses it as a writing utensil. And is like, tell me everything.
Well, listen, it's Ember, Brian and I ended up somewhere that wasn't here. And we were there, which is to say other versions of us, another Sprocket, another Brian, another Ember, and then our shadows detached, and they tried to take our shadows. Brian took his own shadow, and now there is another Brian on this ship. That Brian does not mean a swell. Let's just say that relations between the two groups deteriorated quite quickly.
Wow.
No, not wow. Oh, and if I may be so bold, mate, oh dear. Brian is unconscious.
At least I hope so. Could be dead for all I know. And he's stuffed in a cupboard somewhere. The other Brian is going around the ship. He's trying to stitch me up and make it look like I did this. And listen, I need you to help me search. We need to find the real Brian, the Brian that's in a cupboard. And whatever you do, if you encounter a Brian that isn't Brian, especially if he's missing one of these, bang on the arm, then I need you to be very, very cool, okay?
Maddox is an automaton without any facial features built in, so hard for him to emote. But I think a sort of what you assume to be a sort of face panel falls off, it just sort of in sort of shock and awe as to what you've just described.
Right. Okay. This is fascinating. So, just to be very clear, you said your shadow's detached?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm currently with Dr. Kova. We're doing some reconnaissance, trying to gather as much information as possible. And this is very interesting. This confirms something that we thought for a very long time. You see, most of the time when these simulations occur, they will take random and disparate elements of those people involved and turn them into almost like a sort of a puzzle. There's a way of unpicking these simulations, you see, a very logical way. So it would seem someone has a fear of their shadow detaching, and so therefore that became the objective. It's almost like there's an objective to each of these simulations. So if you find yourself in another simulation, find the objective. If we knew what was causing the simulation, then we also might get some hint as to how to locate the objective, but we don't yet know what is causing the simulation to happen.
But Brian Maddox, he's here and he's in danger. This isn't a simulation, mate.
Yes, no, but what I'm sort of saying is that the doors, you see, once you enter through a new door, a space that you can't see, it has a very high chance of becoming another simulation.
Oh, God.
Yes, that's
all right.
Hence why I was pre-warning that, you know, you might end up being in a simulation, and they have very real consequences, I'm afraid. But we don't know how they manifest yet, or for what reason.
I don't mind telling you this is a bit above my pay grade, mate.
Yes, just a little bit above mine. We should probably find the doctor. She might be able to have some more information. I just don't understand why it's happening on this ship. We're nowhere near him. There's no logical reason for it.
Maddox, it's all right. We're going to find the doctor, okay? Here, look. I'm going to rummage around in one of my horns and pull out a little tiny oil can. I've got some teak oil here. Will that calm you down?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Blip, 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 blip.
Okay. There we go.
I'm just going to sort of like massage that in, wipe off the excess. Now, don't go near too many open flames, all right? Give it at least 24 hours.
Okay. No open flames. Right. Got it. Shall we?
Yeah.
Are we splitting up or sticking together? What's the plan here?
Stay with me, Maddox, please.
Okay. We've got this. Let's go.
And you head out. I'm going to say go ahead and give me perception or investigation, whichever you like, and Maddox will give you the help action.
Perception, please.
Perception. Go ahead and give me a perception roll.
3.
With a 3, you wander through the halls, and this is where you sort of see the extent to the damage that has been caused. There are a number of the crew members who seem to be unconscious, unwell, and who seem to be struggling. Some of them seem to be enduring bouts of madness. Some of them appear to be in stasis of some description. You see one crew member sort of reappears as though in thin air before kind of looking at you a little panicked and then immediately blinking out of existence again. And it is at this point that you do not find Brian in a cupboard, emptying out every cupboard that you can find. But you do find someone else that you know. You see, lying on the ground, with one arm almost completely destroyed, Ember.
Ember? Ember! Is Ember conscious?
Ember is not conscious, and she appears to be dying.
Maddox? Maddox?
Yes?
You gotta help me, mate. I fix machines, not people.
Oh, but I'm, okay, fine. What are we doing here?
I don't know, but she doesn't look like she's got long. We've got to stabilize her or something.
Okay, let's do this. Am I rolling or are you rolling? In a sort of literal sense.
rolling the sort of physical, you know, dice of life, if you will.
Well, I should roll her over. Yeah. Check her airway.
I think this is a medicine check with advantage. Yeah. Sorry, what were you going to say, Johnny?
Nothing. I'm just minus two on medicine. But, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
With advantage.
14.
14. Ember.
Mm-hmm.
How many failed saves were you on?
Two.
Ember. As Maddox jumps onto her chest, it's seemingly reopening her airwaves from a number of crushed ribs. Ember coughs and splutters.
Did I do it? Is she safe? Is she safe?
Talk to me, Ember.
Spocket, oh, you're here. Oh, thank goodness.
Hold on, mate. I got you. Can I cast aid, please?
You can, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to cast this out of a third level spell slot. So, you regain 10 hit points for 8 hours, because it's a third level.
Oh, okay, cool, great.
So your hit point maximum and current hit points increase by 10 for the next 8 hours.
Easy, mate, easy.
I know it was real. I know it was real.
What was real, mate? Come on.
I was on a train, and everything was broken down. It was just running haywire, and everyone was at risk. And there were these giant buzzing hornets, and Tundra was that she was on the tracks, and I had to get to her, and it wasn't in my mind. I know, mate. Look at my arm.
Ember, your arm looks incredibly messed up. You're missing fingers. There are parts of it which appear twisted. I think, in fact, the hand's probably facing the other way, though it doesn't seem broken. It literally seems like it has been distorted somehow. It doesn't even feel painful. It's just not how it should be. What happened to your hand?
I had to stop the train.
You had to stop the train?
I had to stop the train. All I could think to do was, each time y'all touch that stuff, things have changed, right? I just needed everything to stop, and it...
So, what stuff? What stuff are you touching? What's the...
Embryum?
Yeah, embryum.
Gosh, damn it, I know. I just... Okay, that's fascinating. That's really interesting. Okay. Ooh, boy. Okay. But that still wouldn't make sense as to why... Okay, well, that's something of a... Okay, sorry, I'm just doing some chant.
To translate for Maddox there, Ember, he's been telling me a little bit about this. The sims we were going to go investigate. Well, simulations. You didn't imagine that, mate. Best I can put it is it's like we're at like a crossroads or a nexus. And there's a lot of possible places and things happening here. And it seems like we can intersect with them. That's what happened with the shadows. That's what happened with you.
Oh, my God.
And...
Sprocket, I wish you'd been there. You would have known what to do.
Oh, I don't know about that, mate.
People were talking to me as if I was you. They expected... I messed up so much.
Hey, no, look. You did the best you could, all right? That's all any of us can do right now.
You're saying it was real?
As good as, yeah.
So what happened to them?
I don't know, mate.
All those people on that train.
Hey. You can't think about that right now, okay? We got bigger problems. You're hurt. There's two Bryans on the ship.
What?
There's two Bryans on the ship, mate. Our Brian is unconscious somewhere. I don't know where.
You were just talking to him.
Yeah.
What happened? You guys were just having a...
Yeah, he pulled his own arm off. Basically, well, I won't repeat. He's out to do us in, mate. He's out for revenge. He said he was going to kill you, and then he was going to do me, and then he was going to go to the cupboard where he'd stuffed the Brian we know, and he was going to pluck out his bulbs. All right?
Not on my watch. No one else is down. Maddox, you couldn't stitch me up a little more, could you?
Oh, yes, I probably could. Not a problem. You have a few cracked ribs. Probably going to hurt a little bit.
You see, kind of turns his hand into a little suction cup and essentially starts like trying to like reset like a couple of your where you've got like some of your lower ribs have cracked. He's like resetting the,
and also like the top of Ember's, like all of her hair and the top of it is like kind of crispy frozen.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. We'll say your eyebrows still haven't unfrozen, so your eyebrows are still kind of you're sort of stuck in a bit of a scowl at the moment. Yeah, we'll say that Maddox is able to heal you for another 12 hit points.
Okay, I'll take it.
So, quick thing, Sprocket, you actually recall something of a reoccurring nightmare. One whereby you found yourself in the front of a runaway train that was broken, heading towards a sort of a seemingly like the end of a track. And you, in this reoccurring dream, have to fix this train in order to stop it from running off of the end of the tracks. You have to fix it or everyone on that train is going to die. And I think what Ember describes there brings that rushing back to you.
Listen, Ember, I think you were in a nightmare of mine.
I promised you it was my nightmare too.
Oh, yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is I've been there, mate. And I know you did what you could. So we can talk it out later. We can deal with it then. But can I kind of want Sprocket to like describe the cab to Ember.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, I know what it's like, you know, like.
Yeah, it was the exact same one. I think it stopped. I swear I remember it slowing down right before.
Good. That's more than I've ever been able to do, mate, so.
Oh, very quickly then, what is it that you did specifically to cause the train to stop and to bring you back here? What happened?
I stuck my hand in it where the embryum was and removed it from the control system.
Right. Okay, well that means that the embryum is specifically tied to whatever the objective is. So the simulation is, I don't know, the scaffolding, if you will, around it, but it seems the embryum is the key to creating this simulation. So if theoretically, we were to gather all of the embryum up and keep it in one place, it should stop the simulation, because there seems to be a combining of embryum and some other force that we don't know, or a source of something, which again, we don't know. The two are combining and it's causing this mess. So as long as we can keep the embryum out of that source and away from that source, wherever possible, we might be able to stop this.
It's got to be the tree. It's got to be the tree.
The tree?
The tree's been having weird dreams. I saw more embryum go into it. We pulled some out already. It went into Brian's head.
You saw embryum go into the tree? Oh, goodness.
Right, and Brian has some, right? So we've got to get to Brian as well.
Okay, we have to find Brian. He's a source of embryum. Okay, right. Let's go, team. Find embryum. Find Brian. And remember, if you get stuck in a simulation, just find the embryum and you'll be okay.
I don't mean to be glib, but this is what happens when you do not sing the quarantine song.
Right, everyone, quarantine song as we move through. And if we get stuck, and if we meet anyone, we'll know the first thing you do before we say anything is we sing the quarantine song, okay? Everyone knows the quarantine song?
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Maddox just runs off.
Oh, well, all right. Well, Sprocket, I know this is just out of nowhere. I'm sorry, but could I just get a hug?
Of course you can, mate. I scoop Ember up. Scoop! Like, kind of like, oi!
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's save our friends.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. If you want to learn about what goes into making a show just like this one, then why don't you check out the 12 Sided Studios Patreon, where myself and my co-founder, Chad Pytel, dig into how we have created a production company, which is changing the way that we do actual play and all things nerdy. This episode was produced by 12 Sided Studios. Producers are me, Jasper William Cartwright, Jess Jewell, and Chad Pytel. Our social media manager is Ellie Crook, and the episodes are edited and sound designed by the wonderful Oliver Moore. And your cast for this arc is Josephine McAdam, Johnny Chiodini, and Edward Spence. Oh, and me, Jasper William Cartwright, your GM. Thanks for listening.